Let's to stay in his presence, because we pray your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven. And when it comes, sometimes we can move on because somebody's got something to say, and it's not about that. It's about his kingdom coming. And so let's just stay a moment. Heaven was silent for half an hour, it says in Scripture, in Revelation. Let's soak in his presence. God's got gifts he wants to give you this afternoon, or bring off the shelf ones he's already given you which you haven't used. So thank you, Father, for releasing those today. All that these lorries represent, Father, that you're releasing to each one this afternoon, we pray that you release it all and we receive it all. Thank you, Father, for releasing healing in this room today. Thank you, Father, for those that haven't seen angels that saw one this morning for the first time. May we just continually press in to the gifts you've given us. It's certainly released that spirit of adventure. And the adventures are with him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us. May our footsteps be in your footsteps.
Thank you, Lord. God's given me some words I feel like I need to release. And Sue touched on earlier about position for transition. And, I mean, there's a whole teaching in there, isn't there, you know? And I'll bring out some of the things that I actually felt God was saying for each of us to hold on to. The first one being, in that time when you know that you're transitioning, keep praying. Obvious, really, but keep praying. So if there's anyone here that feels that they are in transition, I just want to speak to you right now. Keep asking for provision along the way, because he's going to show you how he's going to provide in that place of transition. Obey what he's saying. It's very easy for us to start putting our own plans into action, start thinking, how am I going to get myself out of this place into the new place? And God's got it covered. We just need to listen. So we pray. We listen. Share. Find counsel, wise counsel, that will help you to transition from one place to another. Intercede. Take all of those promises that God has given to you all in your whole journey and go to him and intercede with each one. And he will release something new out of each of those promises. Teaching, your past teachings. We've all sat in many, many hours of teaching, and there is richness within it. And if you can go back and look at what notes you may have written at the time, it meant something. And God may not have meant it to be used when you wrote it. He meant it for it to be used when you're reading it. So go and have a look at those past prophetic words. Go and revisit them. Stay focused on where you're going. Remain interested. Don't just get stuck in that place of thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And looking at the problem here. Keep interested on where you're going. Keep interested and focused on the destiny. Observe where the Holy Spirit is guiding you. Observe what he wants to do with you, because it's important. You know, he wants to communicate with you whether you're in transition, or whether you're in a rut, whether you're stuck, whether you're content, whether whatever God is doing with you, he always wants to be speaking to you. Stay close. Stay close to God's heart and listen for his Holy Spirit. So positioning for transition, it doesn't mean you do nothing. You have to do something. Prepare for what is coming. And it's even better than you can imagine. Amen. Amen. And remember when God spoke to you, and go to those words, because he has marked out a way for you. There are many paths of righteousness. It's not a path, it's paths. And so you may be left with the choice of what to do. But he will lead you, he will guide you, and he will show you as leaders where you need to be leading others, not just yourself, but there's others to come as well. So I'll leave that with you. Of course, there are diversions sometimes, and we wonder what God is doing with those diversions. But look for what he has in those diversions, because there are divine opportunities. You might be thinking it's A to B, but actually he might have you go to A to D to E to F to get to A to B. And there's a reason. So always look for what he's doing. I also have a word for somebody, and I think it's the guy here. I don't know your name. Louis. God was showing me he was reaching in and holding your hand to bring you out of the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place of agonizing over something. And he's leading you out into the Garden of Eden, where there's promise, where there's hope, where there's provision, where there is everything that you need. There is a time for Gethsemane. You don't stay there. You move on. Just as transition, you're moving somewhere. He's leading you out into that place where he wants to provide for you. And it's not about what you can do. It's about him. It's about what he can do. And providing that comfort, that space, that place to be loved on by him. So I bless you with that word. And I ask, Lord, that you would show him what that means to him. And Lord, that if anything is not of you, I ask it would fall to the ground. But he would hold on to those things that you want to speak to him about. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Jan, I know you shared some things with me at lunchtime, and it was wonderful to hear all of your stories. But I felt like God was saying to you, this is just the beginning. There is something in your life that needs to be birthed yet. There is an anointing on your life that is getting stronger as the days get longer. And so God is not finished with you yet. This is just the beginning, Jan, and you will see those things that he promised you as you were a young woman. All those things that he has spoken to you about are on their way. So, Father, I bless her with this word, Lord. I ask, Father, that Jan would hold it in your heart, in her heart, all those things that you have spoken to her about, and, Lord, that she will see those things with her very eyes. Lord, all those things that you have already done for her. It's your destiny, Jan. Amen. Amen.
The young gentleman that was leading worship, I don't know if you thought of it or you already do it, but I had a sense of I could just see you on the streets playing and just playing Christian songs. Sounds like somebody knows something I don't. That, you know, that can just wash over people as they go by. They might only hear one or two words, but that can just impact people. So do you do that already?
No, but what's in my mind already.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lord. Lord, I just bless him with that. Give him the timing and where to go, because it's, again, all about positioning. And so we need to, you know, have those under the tree experiences that so many people had in the Bible. They were in the right place at the right time, is what I'm saying. So you can look under the tree experiences, if you like, in the Bible. But it's all about positioning and the songs that you choose are always different when you play on the street than they might be in church. But you know, you've been so spot on with the songs you've chosen this morning that have been in line with what God wanted to release here. So I bless you in your ministry, and may you just go from strength to strength. And, you know, I can even see you traveling abroad and doing worship in other nations. So I bless you with that too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's all about him. I'm not going to speak for long. So, you know, sometimes the afternoons when we've been here all day, it's like, okay, I want to go home now. I just want to just bring something I feel God is releasing and wants us to embrace in this season, and that's his glory. And we sang that already, and if we meant the words that we sang in that first song, then this is what God wants to release to you today. Moses cried, I pray you show me your glory. Now, Moses had already been face to face with God as a friend and talked to God as a friend face to face. But he knew there was more. And there is always more with God, as we know, because heaven is huge. As somebody mentioned, and to remind me this morning, there's more activity in the supernatural than there is in the natural. And I'll remind you, which you're all familiar with, of 2 Corinthians 3, where it's called the glory of the new covenant. I'll just pick out a couple of verses. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory that will last? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we who with unveiled faces, that's us, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we're talking about, we're living in the days of surpassing glory, we're living in the days of greater glory, and we're living in the days of increasing glory. So what is glory? What was it Moses was so desperate to see and to be part of and to feel? Because the glory, as in the song, is about his presence. The thickness, the weight of his presence. God said to him in his response, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. And when we read that, many of us will think, okay, pass, it's going to go left to right, or it's God's glory is going to this way. But what if he meant pass before you? Pass before you. So we walk in the glory that is in front of us. We walk in the goodness of God. We walk in the presence of God. To me, I can interpret that because we're glory carriers. Because we are in Christ, and Christ is the hope of glory. So if we are in Christ, we live in the glory. That is how we increase into the surpassing glory, the greater glory, the increasing glory, so that, as I mentioned this morning, we walk down the street and the glory that we carry emanates from us and heals. The glory of God. We are natural beings with supernatural power. So what does that look like? What is the glory? We'll talk about the glory, but what is the glory? God's glory is all essentially that he is and all that he does. It's his very nature. So when he pours out his glory, or we're living in the glory, we're living in his goodness, his abundance, his riches, his radiance, the weight of his presence, the splendor of who he is. It's in us and surrounds us. Of course, we know God is full of so many attributes: love, goodness, mercy, compassion, faithful, and including a celebration lover. God loves celebrations. That's why there were so many feasts that Jesus went up to in the Bible. So it's all about freedom. It's about joy. It's about love. It's about peace. That's who God is, and that's who we are, because we are in Christ. And all of it is in promise to us. And he wants us to experience his glory, to live in his glory. And the more that our characters and our nature resemble his, the more we're moving into the greater increasing glory. John 17, Jesus says, the glory which you've given me, I have given to them. We have it, that they may be one just as we are one. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. So he's saying he's freely giving it to us, all that he has, and we access it by faith. By faith we can behold Jesus' glory in the heavenly places. It's a gift. It's what God wants us to have. It's the manna for this season that he's pouring out, giving to us freely. So we can enter in and enjoy God's glory as a lifestyle, or we can just step into God's glory whenever we want to. Be driving the car, washing the dishes, in the supermarket, and we can ask God to just come and remind us and fill us with his glory. People who move in God's glory are being set apart. It talks so much in the Bible about the remnant. And you can study the remnant. But this remnant of God's people that talk the same language, kingdom language that God is using and blessing and pouring out more and more of his grace. Cheyenne, who many of you know, I know in different streams, people know different people. He says, if you want to know God personally, to relate to him intimately, we must be prepared to receive and experience his glory. When God created the earth, in the beginning, everything was full of his glory. His word and his breath brought everything into life. Everything was alive and shimmering with his presence. And of course, we were created out of that. We were created out of glory dust. In fact, scientists have discovered that we've got minerals in us as human beings that are like glory particles. So we can see right at the beginning, God always wanted us to be living in his glory. In Exodus 40, we're aware that the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And this is where God would speak and talk to his people. So the more that we are living in his glory, the more we're going to hear God constantly talking to us. And of course, the cloud led the people in the day, and the fire, God's fire led them at night. So in the glory, we get direction and we're covered by him in the glory as we move from one thing to another. Talked about the dedication this morning when the glory of God just came down and the priest couldn't minister. And then when Jesus took Peter, James and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, there's, you know, this great thing going on. It's the glory is opening up, and Peter, in his wonderful sense of knowing how to handle everything, said, I'm going to build these three buildings for you. And of course, the glory came in greater intensity, and he ended up on the floor. And all he saw and all he heard was Jesus and God speaking to him. So it's like God just took away his man's plan and just came and completely undone him, really, for that moment in time. And he was suddenly very focused on God, and he was more focused on the spiritual than he was on the practical things. So it's in the glory that God spoke to him, and God speaks to us. So there's things, as we've mentioned already, that usher in the glory. And obviously, worship and praise ushers in the glory. And when you get worship leaders that are people that usher in God's glory, then you're in it straight away. You're in his presence as soon as they just play a couple of chords, because they're worshippers at heart. Obedience always ushers in more of God's glory when we listen to what he has to say and are obedient. Repentance always ushers in more of God's presence. Prayer, faith, and then in Malachi 2 it talks about tithes and offerings and not robbing God. And that's one of the scriptures that has a promise to it. So if we honor God with our tithes and our offerings, he will pour out so much blessing we can't contain it. So it's one of the promises that God has for each one of us. So how do we receive the glory? So we're going to just sit here, stand here, lie here, and let God just minister to us, and then we'll just go into praying for you. So just now sit, just go back into God's presence if you've moved out of God's presence, but it's very important that we have an understanding and receive the glory, because God gives his gifts in the glory. So we want to just lay down our own thoughts, what we should be doing later, what we're having for tea, how I'm going to get home, all those things. And just commit ourselves again completely to God. Just abandon ourselves to him. And just repent from any known and unconfessed sin. We just want to come with clean hearts and pure hearts, clean hands and clean hearts too. And just believe that God wants to release his presence in a greater measure, because it's always greater. There's measure upon measure upon measure. So believe that he's releasing it to each one of us, and just receive by faith. John Arnott's a great person that believes by faith. When everybody was manifesting, he just stood there in the early days of the blessing, and it was just such a testimony that you receive by faith. And then just soak, just like a candle, really. It's just the wick is just soaking, and we just receive his presence. And stay focused. It's so easy to wander off. And just respond with a thankful heart. So it's very important that we have a belief that God is pouring out his glory, and within that glory are giftings. So don't have any fear of not receiving. If you've got any thoughts which are critical, then just repent and lay them down. You don't need to strive. But Moses cried, "Show me your glory." He wanted more. Jesus says, "I've given it to them. I've given them the glory." So, Father, we just come this afternoon and just give you praise. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that so loves us, you want to give good gifts to your children. And scripture says every spiritual blessing is ours. So we receive every spiritual blessing. And if you want to hold your hands out to see what God wants to give you, that's fine. You don't have to, but just bearing in mind what someone said this morning, that God was just touching our hands and fire was going up for them. So we like to move in the prophetic and the things that have been released in a meeting, not just move on from them, but embrace the ones that have been released. So pour out your glory, Father. Pour out your goodness, we pray, because it's all about you and it's all about us. And you giving good gifts to your children. Some of you are just feeling peace. Having fresh revelation and direction. new inventions. It's a year of new inventions coming forth. So, Father, just give us those inventor minds. Strategies of heaven. Does anybody want to share what God's giving them? Really feel the weight of his presence here.
I feel that God take everyone's to the garden, his present. And then I saw the little basket. Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, the little basket. There are the black flowers around, too many. It's like today God gave you, like these flowers, that's meaning is like, gives you the extra, strategy.
Strategies
for whatever exactly today you need it, for your ministry, for your blessing people. Exactly, the Lord knows what exactly you need today. He gives you today the breakthrough in different ways.
Thank you, Lord.
I just felt there was someone here that had shame on them. I just felt that recently you've had a conversation with somebody or some people, and the result of that has left you covered in shame, and it's not right, it's not real, it's not what God wants for you, but you feel like that. It's just a feeling, and I just feel God wants to lift that off you this afternoon, and that it's about forgiving the people and then lifting the shame off. But I'm sure someone can pray for you if you've got difficulty with that. Sure. Okay. Whoever that is, can you just do that now? Can you put your hand on your heart if it's you? In fact, if we all do it, then nobody will be exposed. Just say, Jesus, I just ask you to help me forgive that person or persons that have been so judgmental and unkind towards me. I just ask you to help me forgive them. And I receive that forgiveness now in the name of Jesus. And I just say that they owe me nothing. And with the authority that you've given me, I just lift that shame off myself. If you symbolically just go lift it off somehow in a symbolic kind of way, just lift that shame off in the name of Jesus. And I can now walk free from all that the enemy has tried to hang on me. Amen.
Hello again. She was speaking about some strategies, and I think I've heard just one. The Bible says that Jesus used to wake up way before the day started, and he had a communication with God. He had a time with the Lord. Jesus, that was Jesus, he had a time with God. So he teaches how to do. He teaches how to live with him. And the other thing is, like, that was something that was constant. There was this constant consistency. He was doing this day by day by day by day. And God is telling us that we need to build that. Because sometimes we might do a fasting and not have the results that we were expecting of. But we need to keep believing. We need to keep doing. We need to keep building that trust. Because it's the same way when you have a relationship with another person. You just don't start and tell everything of your life. You build a relationship. So the same way, we need to build that relationship with God. That breakthroughs of healing, that breakthroughs of revelations is that relationship that you build with God. So whatever you're doing, even if it's not bringing results now, just keep doing it. Amen.
I was just asking God about some stuff for myself, but I feel it's for all of us that, you know, sometimes we have like in our hearts, the words that God's given us. And it's like, well, how can that happen, God? And sometimes we can take, like you said, take matters into our own hands and try and work out how it's going to happen. But we can't. We can't make it happen. And so whilst we position ourselves, just it's finding that place of rest in him. But I just felt him say really clearly, like, my provision is always there for you. And for each one of us, whatever that vision is that he's got for us, that work that he's got for us to do, like his provision, whether that's peace, whether that's rest, whether that's finances, whether that's connections with different people, whatever it is that we need, his provision is always there for us. And the other thing, I was looking up those verses in John 17 and about us receiving his glory, like he wants us to know his glory. And it's very much linked with being one with him. And he says, he talks about him and the Father being one. And I just really felt that, you know, as we spend time in his presence, because as we spend time in his presence, that's when we become more like him. And if we don't spend time in his presence, then obviously we're not going to become more like him. And so that is the foundation, which I know we all know that, but we actually need to do it. And there's a purpose to spending time in his presence. And yes, it's so that we can receive his glory, but why do we need to receive his glory? And it's so that we become more like him, and that, you know, whether it's Mick and I or whoever spending time in his glory, that we don't just individually become more like him, but then in our relationships with those around us, so for us in our marriage, that actually we're both becoming more like him, and then that makes us even get on even better together and be more of a blessing to each other. And as we're doing that in all our relationships in the body of Christ, because he wants us to reflect his glory to the world, and so that the world will see him. And, you know, so often at the moment, the church is not looked at in a positive way. But, you know, obviously more and more we do that, then the more and more that we become more like him and his glory is reflected, because he's coming, like John Arnott was saying. He's coming, and he's coming for a bride without spot and wrinkle. And, you know, we've all got a few wrinkles at the moment. So, just really encourage all of us as we go into this year to actually make it a priority to spend time in his presence on a daily basis, because actually once a week or twice a week actually isn't enough. And whether it's a few seconds, a few minutes, a few hours, whatever you've got to spare, really, to spare for him. but actually living in his presence every day, so that we're not always taking time out to be in his presence, but actually we're living in his presence. Whether we're lying on the floor, lying on the sofa, lying on our beds, actually we've got nothing else to do but do that, or whether it's all through the day and all that we're doing. I was sharing with Claire, I think it was. We went to visit Mick's mum recently, and his sister-in-law said something to me. Basically, can I share this really quickly? I'm trying to lose weight, right? And I've been trying to lose weight for quite a long time. And I go through phases. Anyway, so a few months ago, I said I was going to step on the bandwagon and start trying to lose weight. Well, I haven't seen her for quite a few months. It's probably a year since I'd seen her. And when she saw me, she said to me, Sue, you said you were going to lose weight. I expected to see you like a nice, slim, skinny thing that the next time you came up to see me. And she said, she said, Sue, I really ask you, beg you, to get a grip on your weight and to do something about it, right? And now, in the past, my reaction would not have been very gracious to her. I would have wanted to punch her on the nose, probably. Definitely not want to see her for a long time and not want to speak to her. I possibly wouldn't have said anything really aggressive to her because I would keep it inside and be really angry in my heart towards her. But I can honestly say that whilst I was shocked at what she said, my reaction towards her was grace, actually. And later on that same day, we were going out for a meal for them. And in the past, I would not have wanted to see her again on that visit. We probably would have just stayed at Mixed Mum's and not gone to visit his sister. Anyway, we went out for a meal. And she asked me, what did you think when I said that to you? And I said, I'm being really honest, Chrissy. I said, actually, I was really thankful that you said that to me because I've been determined this year that I'm going to lose weight. But I said, I'm really thankful that God has given me a sister, because I haven't got a sister, who felt that she could say that to me. And no one else has had the courage to say that to me. So I'm thankful that God's given me you, that you felt that you could say that to me because you love me. I couldn't believe the words that were coming out of my mouth, actually. But that's a miracle, you know. God has given me that gave me that grace at that moment to say that. And I honestly can say I am thankful for her. She's a blessing to me in other ways as well. But, you know, as we spend time in God's presence, he enables us to have those kind of reactions to people when they say hurtful things towards us. And, you know, I just feel that, yeah, God is encouraging us, even in those moments, whether it's, as I said, soaking, or even in that moment when she said that to me, that I was able to rest in God, and I was able to give that, what would have been my hurt, over to him and just say, what is your response? And I was able to come out with that grace. And actually, it's actually strengthened our relationship instead of the walls going up. So, okay, thank you.
Anyone else have anything they want to share? Do you have anything to do with boats? Yes. Yes. Okay. I just see you as someone with a boot. So maybe it's a supernatural one.
I think you need to know what you're doing.
Was it a survival boat, is it? Perhaps you're a person that people feel comfortable with, that they can come alongside and just get in your boat. So other people are nodding, so I think that might be true. Thank you, Lord. Bless you in that.
Oh, sorry. Yes, of course. Yes, I know that. They know me in my church. Actually, this is very short and sweet. There are different love languages, aren't there? Yeah. Right. And God's got them all because everything that we have, he's created and has given us. And he loves to give gifts. He does. He just gave his son. And he's constantly giving us gifts, big and small, minute and huge. Everyone thrills. It all thrills him so much to give us gifts. And what he's saying is, give it away. It doesn't matter how small it is. Please, just give it away. And there's a song that I'm not going to sing, but I remember it from junior school. Give, said the little stream. Give, oh, give. Give, oh, give. Give, said the little stream, as it hurried on its way. I'm small, I know, yet where'er I go, I give away. And where'er I go, the fields grow greener still. And wherever you go, every day, please, give it away. Just give it away. And the world can be changed if we give it away. Person next door can be changed if we give it away. Heidi Baker gives it away constantly, doesn't she? Yeah.
And that's really what Sue did, was to give away the grace and the love to her sister-in-law, which is a good example. So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing and have done today. And, Father, I ask that you seal within us everything that you want us to be sealed within us. And, Father, that we go out with the grace and the love and the glory, and with the angels that you've assigned to us and will continue give to us as we leave this place and go on our journeys, those journeys of adventures. In Jesus' name, amen. So if anyone would like prayer, we are here to pray with you. If Natty would like to come, and Claire, and... Dave, do you want to come? Are we right for time for that?
Sure.
Yeah. So please don't go home without having prayer if you would like prayer. But if you're comfortable in God's presence and feel happy to just go, is that okay, Dave, to people to go now? Yeah, okay.
Whilst Sue was speaking, I just felt in my right hand a real heaviness, like it's weighing down the right arm. Now, it could be for a lot of us. I mean, in leadership, I mean, you know, God puts a lot in your hands and things like that. And then it went light, and I just feel that for 2019. He's speaking, it's what he's saying to me, if you like. The more you carry, or the more I take on, if you like, the more I need in that place with him. And he's calling me into a greater level of, if you like, intimacy of time with him and in the Word. Because of the fact that to try and do it without him, and without having that time with him, you know, it does feel like a heaviness. And so if any of you feel the same, similar, and what have you, you know, come out here and, you know, just we can just bless you. We can just, you know, and you can soak the presence of God and just let the waves of God flow over you. He wants to touch us. He wants to love us. He wants to, and if that hand and that weight feels heavy, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that right? Amen. So would somebody like to just play in the background? And we're open for prayer. Just come and get a fresh touch. Get some of that oil flowing over you. Amen.